told Melissa, I fixed it so I don't have to put on three different pairs of glasses up here from the pulpit. And it came last night. And it's this iPad. And I can see it because everything's backlit. So it's going to really help. Amen. Helped me a lot. And plus it sits here. I can prop it up a little bit. And nice to see. And I got my notes. You know, David Hunt will appreciate this. If I had to print out what I could see, it would be in a 16-point, those of you that are computer geniuses. And if I print it in 16-point, it would be 17 pages. And if I have 17 pages, you know what's going to happen? We'll be here till Jesus comes back. And I don't want to do that. So praise God. Pray with me right now as we get into the Word today. Amen. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I open my heart and I open my ears and I expect you to speak to me and minister to me right where I am. My ears are open and my heart is ready for all that you have for me right now in Jesus' name. Now, Father God, I just thank you for your word today. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us, speaking through my heart too, speaking to me, speaking through me, Lord. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you for your presence. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in our hearts starting today, all throughout the year. We thank you, Lord, that we build safe routines that get us where we need to be. Amen. Lord, that this year, 2026, is not a struggle in any aspect, but it's a year of victory, a year of increase, a year of forward motion. And Lord, we just give you thanks for that and give you praise right now in Jesus' name. And everybody shouted, amen. Turn to your neighbor, give them a high five, and you can be seated. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, back on the table back there, there is the word of the Lord for 2026 in paper form. And there's also the note page for this message. I do not plan on finishing this today. We will do part two next Sunday. But I just want to talk to you about routines for incredible success. You know, it's one thing to be successful, but, you know, it's a whole nother animal when you're incredibly successful. How many of you like to be incredibly successful? Woo! I like that word, incredible. I want to be incredibly successful. I don't want to be just wimpy successful. I want to be hefty and strong and successful in all I put my hand to. Amen. We should all have that kind of hunger. You know, it's important that we have routines that help us focus on how to be the best. It's important that we have routines on how we can focus on how to do more, be more, do more. Amen. You know, doctors tell us that a habit, everybody say a habit. Anybody got bad habits? Hopefully with the fast starting tomorrow, maybe you'll deal with some bad habits. Melissa asked me what I was going to fast. I said, what am I not fasting right now? How many days has it been? It's been a while now, a month or so. So I got new habits already. Amen. You know, doctors say a habit is something that sets into your life when you repeat it over and over and over for 21 days. And I am way past being a habit. It's now a routine. I have come to a place, and I know I'm not putting condemnation on you. You can do what you want. But I don't even have a desire to eat cake. I just don't. There's no desire for me to get a can of frosting and open it up and stick a spoon in it and eat it. It's just not, I used to do that. I used to do that. It's just not there. You know, in fact, for breakfast this morning, you know what I had? Yum, yum. I had a bowl of green beans. Glory to God. Oh, it's good. Amen. Hey, the green beans are in the Garden of Eden. Did you know that? Amen. I had a big bowl of green beans. It had some peppers and onions in it. It was good. Amen. But I'm on the road and going somewhere. But you know, you got to get to a place where you got good habits. Everybody say good habits. Yeah. You know, you can't go anywhere in life if you may want to get to the top of the mountain, but you'll never get there with your downhill habits. Amen or oh me. Go on, we'll open the altar up. Y'all come up here and suck rug and just repent and all that. But you'll never get anywhere if you got downhill habits. You have to push yourself. You have to drive yourself. And there's routines that bring success in your life. But again, a habit is something you repeat over and over and over for 21 days or more. And good habits, if you're going to write something down, this ought to be the top of your note page on the back of your paper there. Good habits establish good routines. Good habits establish good routines. Everybody say good routines. Amen. You know, my habits here lately have been odd, unusual. But it's a discipline. Once you do it, it helps you. It gets you over, gets you past things that you thought you could never get past. But what's a routine, Pastor? Well, you know, a routine is a sequence of actions, and this is the definition off the internet from Webster's, but a routine is a sequence of actions regularly followed, a fixed program, something performed as a part of a regular procedure rather than a special reason. You know, a lot of people say they want to get out of debt, but then after they do it, they go right back into debt. And why is that? Because they continue to not follow a regular fixed program to stay out, to keep going back in. Okay? You know, the Bible talks about lust for other things. I'm just saying. Stop for a minute. Ask the Lord, God, is this your plan? Is there a better way? You know, it was several years ago, we made a decision. We're buying used cars. You know, what's his name, the finance guy, guru? Yeah, Dave Ramsey, you know. You can buy a good used car. The car I got, didn't buy it new. I bought it from CarMax. Got a friend over at CarMax named Toby. And Toby, Kokeman, he's a Polish fella. I don't know if I said his name right. But he's a great guy. He's a former Assembly of God youth pastor. I walked in, he says, I know who you are. You were on fire by night. And I said, yeah. And he told me about his story, his past. And ever since then, we've bought every car that we've gotten from him. Even our sons have done that. He's just a great guy. But you got to change your habits if you're going to get somewhere in life. Are you listening to me? I mean, if it's got 20,000 miles on it, it's still a good car if it's been taken care of. Amen. And it's better when you don't have, you know, when you drive it off the lot, it loses a lot of value if it's brand new. But you know, when it's been used, it's already taken care of that depreciation. Right? So, you know, we got to operate in wisdom. But again, that's a part of establishing good habits. You got to operate in wisdom. Wisdom. Everybody say wisdom. Wisdom. So, and then in the verse here, or in the definition, routine is something performed as a part of a regular procedure rather than for a special reason. A routine is the usual series of things that you do at a particular time. Another definition reads, a routine is also the practice. Everybody say practice. It's the practice regularly of doing things in a fixed order. An example here is the players had to change their daily routine and lifestyle. You know, if you're going to get buffed up, you know, if you're going to, as far as lifting weights and things like that, how many of you know to really do it right, you got to change certain habits in your life to do that right? Right? There's certain things you have to do in order to do that. And but every first of the year, you got to examine your habits and you need to examine your routines. Everybody say, I choose. To examine myself. You need to do that. You got to examine your life. Examine yourself. Well, the Bible says in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, and this is from the New Living Translation, it says, trust in the Lord with only half of your heart. Now, we've got to trust in Him with all of our heart. And then He says, do not depend on your own understanding. One translation wrote, do not depend on your own smart aleck wisdom. Because basically, you know, if you're dependent on yourself, then you're telling the Lord, I know more than you do. That's not a good place to be. See, the Word should be paramount, and the Word should be first in your life. before anything else, you have to trust the Lord with all of your heart and do not depend on your own understanding. And then it says, seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. Amen. You know, daily seeking God should be a big part of this year for your life at all times. Sure, maybe it was last year, but what could you do to do more? You know, and I always love what Billy Godwin would always say, you know, if you keep doing what you're doing right now, will you be closer to God or further away in 5 years? Amen? If Jesus switched places with you right now, what changes would He make immediately to get you focused on His will? Well, if Jesus switched places with you, what would He be putting first in your life? That's a good way to examine yourself. What kind of routines you got, baby? You need to fix that. Amen. Fix it. Seeking the Lord should be a big part of your daily routine. You know, the Bible tells us that a good, powerful truth that Jesus spoke about, He said, abide in me. Abide in me. Everybody say, abide in me. You need to abide in the Lord. Amen. John 15, verses 4 through 8 here. It says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you what? Abide in me. Abide in the Lord. Amen. Verse 5, Jesus is talking to you now. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me, talking about you, and I in him, if you abide in me and I in you, you'll bear a lot of fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. We always quote that part, you know, without me, you can do nothing. But a whole bunch of folks just don't want to do any abiding. You want success in your life? You need to get into the routine of doing a whole lot of abiding. Amen. You need to abide in the Lord. Amen. I like what Brother Mark Hankins says, you know, if you're going to be big in God, you need to realize that directions say for the Lego, some assembly required. You want to be big in God, you need to be in church. Y'all watching online, you hear me? You need to be in church. You need people in your life. Quit being afraid of people. You need people to strengthen you, or all you do is vegetate in front of the boob tube. Amen. You need people in your life that encourage you, lift you up. But Mother Mark would always say, you know, there's a whole lot of assembly required. A whole lot of assembly is required. You want to see things change in your life? You need to get into the routine of assembly, the routine of praising together. Amen. Those are good habits, good routines to keep you focused. But Jesus told you, verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. You know, if a ship will stay out at sea forever, unless somebody comes and brings them supplies, everybody on board is going to die. That ship has to take its way back to the port to load up more supplies, to get new cargo, to travel that road, that path, those shipping lanes to get where it needs to go. If you're on a train, you know, a diesel locomotive's got to run on what? Diesel fuel. It has to fill up. It has to maintain. It has to have a steady routine. In the old days, you had to stop at the yard and get coal put in the coal car. And you had to have water put in to the train, into the water tank. And all the different things you needed so that you could generate boiling steam to get that engine to move and work. But the same is true for you and me as a believer. We need the routine of abiding in Him. If we don't, we're cast out. We'll wither. We will shrivel up and go to dust and die. But you know, you'll go into the fire. You'll get burned, as Jesus is saying here. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. I don't know about you. I don't want my life to be so seared conscience-wise that I'm not hearing from God anymore. I don't want my life to be so deceived by falsehoods and terrible things that I don't focus on the truth that sets you free. And that requires a daily routine, a daily habit. Amen. Jesus said, if you abide in me, in verse 7, and my words abide in where? You. Everybody say, that's me. He goes on, he says, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. Well, I was thinking when I was putting this together a couple weeks ago, I thought of some powerful verses I thought would be good to go here. And just write these down. I think they're in your handout. But the verses are real simple here. Jeremiah 29:13, you will seek me and what? Find me. But the emphasis is on who's doing the seeking. You, me. You will seek me and you'll find me when you seek me with what? There's a key there, another good routine. You need to seek me with all your heart. If you're dealing with troubles in your mind, in your life, that verse right there is a big prescription. If I was Dr. Pastor James Farmer, that'd be on my prescription pad for you. Seek God with all your heart because you'll find him. And when you find him, and you, as you seek him, you'll know him. Amen. And then 1 Chronicles 16:11 be on my prescription pad. 1 Chronicles 16:11, you need to what? Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face what? Continually. That's a big word. That's one of those uphill bicycle trips getting you to the top of the mountain. But you never get there if you're not continuously pedaling, working, pushing, getting yourself in a routine that gets you going. Amen. If you don't, you'll have a downhill habit and you'll never get to the top. You'll look at it like it's unobtainable. And it is obtainable. Amen. It is obtainable. Hallelujah. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face continually. And then Isaiah 55 and verse 6 is a good first of the year verse here. The Bible says here, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Amen. You know, the best time to seek God before you turn on anything else is early in the morning. I've enjoyed, the Christmas tree's not up anymore, but I've enjoyed sitting in front of the Christmas tree with the lights on, being perfectly quiet. It's usually around 6:30, 7, although the last couple of days I slept to 10, 11. Amen. This week was a week of doing nothing. Amen. But I like getting up early and it's quiet. The cat sits on my feet up against my legs. And I sit there and I read my Bible. I pray. I seek the Lord. I want to honor him first. Because he's the first thing. Now, my phone lights up with news headlines. That's why I find my news. I read the headlines. If it's worth reading, I'll go read it. If not, guess who's got the good news? The Lord. I want to seek after him. Bible says, seek the Lord while he may be found. You know, one day on this earth, people are going to be in a total panic because we'll all be gone. You might want to seek him while he's found. Amen. Call upon him while he's near. Well, then Psalm 34:4. What did David write? I sought the Lord, and he did not listen to me. And he kept me in bondage because I was an idiot. Is that what it says? No. Aren't you glad? I'm glad God doesn't sit in heaven with a big old gray beard and a 2x4, an oak 2x4 with a big old gutter nail sticking out and hit you with it. How many of you know that's what religion says God is? He hurts you. He puts sickness on you. But that's not our God. God is a good God. Say that with me. My God is a good God. And the devil is a bad devil. And the devil is under my feet. Amen. Well, you know, Psalm 34:4, David said, I sought the Lord. And he what?
Answered
me. And he did what else? My God, Jesus, you delivered me from all of my fears. Amen. You delivered me from all of my fears. Hallelujah. Well, that's something to get up and wave a hanky and run around the church about. Amen. He delivered you. A lot of people sit around and go, well, I just think I need to go down to the bar and go drinking because I'm just not free. I don't know if I'll ever get free. I just feel so depressed and so lonely. Well, look who you're focused on, yourself, you old reprobate. You need to get your eyes on the King because he's coming back. Amen. You got to get your eyes focused with purpose. You need to have an incredible routine so that you can have an incredible success every day of your life. Amen. Like I keep going because I want to get at least one point in today. Amen. Let's look at another verse of Scripture here. And this is the one we always think about this time of the year. I think about it this time of the year. Actually, the last 3 months, I've been writing my goals down for this year. I like reviewing things, looking at them, and thinking, what can I do this new year? And I already started on a couple of things. I had some artwork I finished and let Melissa proof it and stuff. Going to send that off, get that done. I don't have it on my... I meant to put it on the screen, but I'm finally... Wesley and I have been working on a music project, and finally going to get that done. And, I mean, you can't see it here, but where is it at? But there we go. It's me standing in front of a train or beside a train with a guitar case next to me loaded with traveling stickers. Y'all remember my guitar from a long time ago? I still have my luggage tags on it. You couldn't even grab the handle sometimes because it's had so many luggage tags on it. But going to put all those songs on there and get it done because it needs to be done. Amen. Last several years, I write it down, things we're going to do. Well, this year, we're going to do it. I got the artwork done. We're going to get it all mastered up and send it off and get it pressed and be finished with this. Amen. Because time's short. Things need to be done. Amen. But just look at this verse here. And this is from the Message Bible. And I like the way it reads because it kind of shakes you a little bit. I like to be shaken a little bit. Amen. Hallelujah. It says here, and then God answered. Whew, God's talking. Come on. Write this. Write what you see. Write it out in big block letters so that it can be read on the run. Amen. Can you see yourself doing that? Maybe on your bicycle. And in your mind, you're reading it in your head. It's like, whew, and I'm on the run. Amen. I remember Lori Beth Jones, that's her name, wrote that book, Jesus CEO. And she talked about writing your mission statement, who you are, what you have. This is who you are and what you're doing. And she goes, your mission statement should be something, they don't have to give you a cigarette and put you in front of a firing squad and you got to think about it. But if they had you in front of a firing squad, you'd be able to say your mission without hesitation. Because it's who you are, what you have. God's telling you this year, write this. Write what you see. Write it out in big block letters so that it can be read on the run. This vision message is a witness pointing to what's coming. It aches for the coming. It can hardly wait, and it doesn't lie. If it seems slow in coming, wait. It's on its way. It will come, what? Right on time. How many of you know God's always on time? Amen. You know, whatever you got on your heart this year, you ought to write it down. Amen. You know, some people, when they write goals, they have these far-fetched plans, illusions of grandeur. And you know, a goal should be something that you can do with just a little extra effort and you can get it done. Amen. I always like taking a legal pad and writing out my goals. This year, I didn't want to write out and print out a bunch of stuff for you to hold on to. I wanted you to take some time and put the effort forth. Get you a legal pad or your notebook and find a place in the back and write out your goals, whether they're financial or our spiritual, personal goals, all the different types of things you could think about. On my page, there's over 50 different things I want to see happen this year. Amen. And I put under my goals bullet points on steps to make that happen, certain ways to do it. And Habakkuk says here, and it's by unction of the Holy Ghost, God said, write it. Write what you see. Write it in big block letters so that you can read it on the run. Amen. You need to have a vision for your life. Amen. Wayne Gretzky said, if you aim at nothing, you hit nothing. Amen. You got to aim. Take aim and do it. Amen. Everybody say, do it.
Do it.
All right. See, when you read about creation, did you know that even God himself had goals? He had a plan. He had a vision. And he had a purpose. Everybody say, my God has a plan, has a vision, has a purpose for my life. He does. But when we talk about creation, God himself had goals, he had visions, he had purpose. He spoke it out and it happened. And then last part of it was, and it was what? Good. It was good. I don't think God makes junk, do you? No. He had a plan, he had a purpose. He spoke it out, it happened, and he sat back and said, that's good. That is very good. Amen. See, you need to have goals. You need to have purpose. You need to list things out. If it's writing a book, if it's putting together a thing, you know, online, I've been writing Pastor's Wisdom. If you online, you follow me on Instagram or Facebook, you know, I've been writing Pastor's Wisdom. I got over 100 of those now. And you know, I'm going to sit down and I'll put them in a book. Put them in a book. They're simple devotionals. Put them in a book. Melissa's got a new job now to proof my book. Amen. But you know, if you don't have any kind of vision for your life, you sit around doing nothing. And doing nothing, you just lose your will to exist. You got to stay busy. You got to stay focused on the Lord. I'm big about setting goals. And lately, my goals have been health related. When I pulled out my page to work on it again, there's the success goals. And then there's the dream goals. You know, some of my goals are, what can I do in 6 months? What can I do in 12? Some of the goals are, what can I do in 2 years, 3 years, 4 and 5? Because those are long-term goals, bigger goals. And you got to plan and think through. Do you know every house we've had, I've been writing goals about the homes I would own since I was 19 years old. Things I wanted to see in my life. You have to be able to see beyond where you are. Your dreams, the things you want to see in your world tomorrow. You should write down those goals. That's what it said in Habakkuk. Write them down. They should be things you know you can do, that you can achieve with just some effort and just some time. Starting something and working it till it's finished. That's real victory in your personal life. Let me say that again. Writing something down, starting it, and working the plan every day, that's victory. A lot of people spin their wheels thinking, well, it just ain't happening. There's no manifestation happening for me. I just can't see it. Yeah, but you're quitting already. Your mouth is running yourself into the ground. You're like that comedian, Stephen Wright, you know, the guy that's monotone all the time. Well, I live on a one-way dead-end street. I don't know how I got there. How did you get there? You got there because you chose to be there. Amen. If you're going to be something you've never been before, you got to do something you've never done before. Are you here? If you want your world tomorrow to change, you need to make steps towards that tomorrow. You should write things down that you know you can do, that you can do it with a little bit of effort and some time. I mean, starting something and working the plan till it's finished, to me, that's real victory in your personal life. Speaking the word every morning, having a time where you're confessing scriptures in your life, that's real victory. Amen. It's not just prayers being answered. It's not just a mountain moving.
Real victory is taking the Word of God and applying it to your daily life. That's real victory. That's telling the devil and telling the Lord, bless God, I mean business here. Your Word says, by your stripes I have been made whole. Your Word says, I'm a king's kid. Your Word says that you bless the work of my hands. Your Word says that I have the favor of God. Folks, that's real victory if you can speak that out of your mouth.
Amen.
Amen. And quit dwelling on what you don't have or what you can't do. Because the Word changes that when you put Him first. Amen. So today, I want to start and give you a couple points real quick. And we'll stop here because we want to get you on out of here. We might just do one or two of these, okay? There's 8 points. But let me give you some good pointers on how to have good routines for incredible success, okay? And these are pointers to make all your dreams and your goals happen, all right? So the first one today is this. Don't wait for motivation. Don't wait for motivation. Build habits now. Smart habits. Smart routines. Don't wait for motivation. Don't wait for somebody, you know, to come in the room with a can of lighter fluid and pour it all over you and strike a match. Because, you know, those people never come into your life. I'll be the first to tell you, people come, they tell you, oh, I love you, I'm going to be here forever, and then they're gone. You can't rely on people. You got to rely on yourself to get the job done. God gave you the dream. He gave you the vision. Don't wait for motivation. Build good habits. Build smart habits. Have smart routines. Amen. You know, when I finally personally got serious about my morning routine, everything changed. When I got serious about my morning routine, everything changed in my life. Your habits shape your future more than your age. Can I say it again? Your habits shape your future more than your age. Amen. More than your age. Your habits shape your future more than your talents or your giftings. God will use those, but you got to dedicate yourself to Him. Your habits will shape your future more than any opportunity would ever do for you. What you are speaking right now in your life will be the destiny that you will be living in tomorrow. Because the words you speak out of your mouth, whether they're positive or negative, you're putting faith in motion for what you're going to have and live in. Amen. We had a comedian from Lee College at the time. It's Lee University now. His name was Dan Noel. And he talked about testimony time at the church, in the Church of God. And he said, you know, in my church, we had a country church, and everybody come on Sundays, and Sunday nights was testimony time. Pastor would hand the microphone to people. You never give up the microphone. You learn this through the years. Just don't do it. But pastor is handing out the microphone. This woman got up and said, I just want to praise the Lord. Them doctors cut me from my belly button all the way around to the center of my back. I was looked like a mud flap on the Mack truck. Glory to God. And then proceeded to talk about how all the pain she was in, she could get through the suffering because of Jesus. There ain't nothing positive about that testimony. What's coming out of your mouth says the story about what and who you believe. Amen.
Amen.
What is coming out of your mouth is what you've been putting in the depths of your spirit. And that is speaking out your mouth and creating a destiny that you will walk in for all the days of your life because you chose it. I love that Indiana Jones movie, you know, the Holy Grail? The Last Crusade. And I love watching that, you know, where they say the Grail is much more than what it is.
There's a lot of truth in the fact that the Word of God is much more than what you realize it is. Stop and think about this with me. And you remember, if you've seen the movie, I love watching the movie. I love the scene where he finally makes it through all the tests and the things he had to walk through, being the penitent man. You know, the penitent man bows before Jehovah. And when he bowed, the razor blade thing went over his head because he bowed. Everybody else didn't bow unto God. Everybody else lost their head. But when he gets to that room where the grail is, there's a bunch of grails because the guard's purpose was to hide all those grails so that no one could take it. And he was an old guard, an old guard from the crusade that was left there to guard them all. But the evil guy came in that was working for the Nazis. And he came in and picked up a cup. He dipped it in the water. And when he did, all of a sudden, everything bad that could have happened, happened. He shriveled up, his skull appeared, and he died into a poof of dust. But Indy came in and picked the right cup. And he drank it. Of course, the old guy, the old guard said after the guy blew into dust, he said, "He has chosen poorly." I love that line. But after Indy drank it, the guard looked at him, "You have chosen wisely." You know, a lot of people in their life do not choose the Word first. They choose everything else, their fear. I had somebody tell me years and years ago, "Well, it's good to have fear." Really? Tell me what's good about something the devil runs on. Now, it's one thing to be a little bit, have an awe about don't step off the cliff. I get that. But the words you speak, you're speaking fear or you're speaking faith. It's one or the other. You can't have it both ways. That's why people are never healed. That's why people never get beyond where they are. That's why people never grow beyond where they're at. Because they stay stuck. Y'all ever had an old record player? And your needle wasn't exactly good on the player? And it found a spot on your record that had a little deep scratch? And what would it do? It would get stuck on that little scratch. Maybe some of you don't know what I'm talking about. I get that. But your needle would play the same line over and over again. You know what I'm talking about? Please. Thank you. I'm not that old. But you know what? A lot of people get stuck on a broken record with a bad needle and keep repeating the same stuff over and over again. You're like Pharaoh, one more night with the frogs. One more night of trouble. One more place to where everything's just falling apart instead of putting this first. Your world will change. All the colors in your world will change if you'll have a daily routine, a smart routine, smart habits, and putting the Word first in your life, because that will shape everything in your life more than anything else. Make smart routines for your life. And then number two, and I'll close with this one. You need to write your dreams and your goals every single day. And what I mean by this is, take some time each day and review what you can do to work on your list to get it done. What can you do to fix something? What can you do to make it happen? Those are important. Amen. You know, I didn't realize when I was younger, but before Melissa and I met, I started writing goals down and thinking about the things I wanted to do with my life. And I had a vision for it. I did not know how to get there. And when we had the opportunities come to make a geographical position change, the opportunity was something I dreamed about when I was younger, that God gave me a dream. I woke up in the middle of the night sweating all over from it, and I knew what I was going to be doing one day. I had no idea how I was going to get there. But all of a sudden, opportunity presented itself. God will put things before you, but you got to be obedient to be a doer of the word. Amen. That's good. See, when I was younger, I didn't write things down. I didn't keep goals. I didn't do certain things. But when I started doing it, it gave me a new sense of a new feeling of being alive. And I don't know how to describe that to you other than, you know, how many of you remember the astronaut orange drink? What was it called? Tang. Y'all remember that, don't you? How about space sticks? You remember space sticks? They were good. The chocolate sticks. Joe didn't like it. I liked it. My mom put two or three of those in my lunch bag. They were good. And I had a water thermos, man, and Tang was in a little Tupperware thing. My mom sold Tupperware. And I could put that Tang in my drink and put the lid back on it and shake it up. I went too long shaking it. Teacher made me sit next to her desk because I shook it too much. But, you know, when I was young, I didn't think certain things made you feel good about yourself. But when I got a hold of the concept of what it means to write goals down and do them, there's something that happened on the inside of me. I found myself being alive because I was, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but I used the word of God and applied it to my life to where it helped me see the big picture clearly and realize that there are steps to go from point A to B to C. Now, sometimes in your life, you might go from C all the way up to the letter S. Those are few and far between, but it's you keeping your focus on God and His Word that'll get you those big jumps. But you got to do it. Amen. Smart routines, writing goals, keeping them alive will change you. What you put on paper, I believe you put in motion. What you write down, I believe you put in motion. And let me say this. We live in a world where people don't write things down anymore. People don't take notes anymore. You forget 80% of what you don't write down. Now, some people are repetitive hearers where they memorize things. Thomas is kind of that way. He could watch something and know every line and quote it. Our son Thomas. I'm not so much that way. I have to hear something over and over and over before I have it memorized. When we did Elf, that was the hardest thing in the world for me to memorize those lines. And I got in trouble because I had some of my lines in a notebook on the stage with me because I was supposed to be working in the office. But I have a little cheat sheet here. It'd be cool. But that didn't work. I got caught and I had to repent. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. But I can't tell you enough how important it is that you write Scripture down. That you not only write Scripture down, but then you go back and you read it, and you speak it, and you talk it. Speaking is one thing, but getting it involved in your daily talk, that changes things too. Are you with me? See, what you put on paper, you put in motion. Amen. You ought to write that down. What you put on paper, you put in motion. Because smart habits and smart routines change your life every single day. Can you say amen? Amen. We'll stop here, but good habits establish good routines. Get started today, this afternoon, after you eat lunch. Sit down, get a piece of paper out. Some of you may have to go look for a piece of paper. I got my phone. I got my iPad. I got a note pages on there, yeah. But you know what? I got a book, a little composition book, and I write notes down in that book. This is what I'm going to do, and this is what I'm going to get done. This is how it's going to happen, and this is how it's going to get paid for, and this is how things are going to change everything. Because you got to write these things down. What goes in is going to come out of you. You need to make sure it's godly. It's wholesome. And every time you watch certain things, you know, Lord, I'm watching this for your glory, for your benefit. That'd make you change your daily diet real quick. Mm-hmm. Amen. Renee was telling me this too, that you know, processed food is just terrible for you. But we love it. We live off of it. But you know, the last month of my life now, I have had no processed food. I feel better than I've ever felt in my life. That's me talking, okay? This has been hard. But now, I've lost desires for things that used to be bad vices in my life. Even shredded cheese isn't good for you, because it's processed. They have preservatives on it. All I'm saying, folks, is whatever it is you need to change in your life, make a smart habit, a good routine, and get started with it. Set your goals for your greatness, because God's got great things for you. Quit being a wimpy Christian with no purpose, no vision. Because when you change, everything else is going to change with you. Can you say amen? Amen? All right, we'll pick up here next Sunday. Stand up on your feet. Hallelujah. Did you learn something today? Amen. Amen. Next Sunday, I'll hit all the points, and we'll get them all. I think we'll get them all done. I hope we will. We might not just get the two done. So, but I'll be good. Amen. I was on the phone with Danny Johnson. I went down and saw Eric's mom. She's getting out of the hospital today. Well, this is good news. Amen. Went down and spent time with her. I think I was in the room for an hour and a half or more. We just had a good time talking and laughing. I was talking to Danny on the phone. We were talking about things that he's been doing. He sends me a devotional every first of the week on a text. And it's really good. And Brother Danny, he goes, Brother James, you know, the Lord's told me I need to make a book out of that. I said, you do. Those are good. People appreciate that. There's not enough encouragement in this world these days. Everything's else bad news. You need to have good news. You ought to do that. He goes, I like what you write. I said, well, yeah, and the Lord's dealing with me. I'm going to make a book out of those things that I write. Well, you know, what's on your heart, you can do. Amen. If you can see it, it can happen. Make a plan this year. Amen. I was encouraging Chase the other day. He's been making little videos, putting them up online, him singing. I don't know about you, Chase can sing. My God, Jesus, there's an anointing there. Amen. And I told him, you're doing the right thing. Just keep knocking. Amen. Because somebody's going to open the door and let you in. Because that's a gifting, that's a talent. God gave you your giftings, your talents, your abilities to take you somewhere. But you got to apply the Word of God in your life daily. Keep your heart right. And He'll open up doors. I mean, if He called you to take the waste paper out, take the trash can out, He'd make it an adventure you'd never forget. Because He's a good God. Amen. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, we just thank You today for Your Word. Thank You, Lord, for speaking to our hearts today. Lord, let us take time and put You first and write down our dreams, our visions. Lord, write down the things we want to see happen in 6 months, 3 months, year away, 2 years away, three, four. Lord, whatever. Let us set those goals in motion and be a doer of the Word to get there. Lord, we thank You for that right now. We thank You, Lord, as we take time and write things down. As we start our fast tomorrow, Lord, we just dedicate these next 21 days starting tomorrow morning unto You. Lord, that You speak to us through this time, that we're disciplining ourselves for greater things. Lord, we just thank You for that. We thank You, Lord, for moving in our hearts in a bigger way. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I believe everybody here today is family. But if you're watching online and you don't know the Lord, all you got to do is ask Him into your heart. It's so easy to do. In fact, we'll all pray with you. You're not so far gone that you can't come to Jesus. You're not so far gone that you can't get your heart right. God will forgive you. He's good. He loves you. He wants you to have an eternity with Him. So let's pray together. If you're watching today, and you need to make a change, this is it. This is it. Start the new year off with Jesus in your heart. If you backslid and you know you need to fix it, fix it. Bible says 1 John 1:9, if you have sin in your life, he's faithful and just to forgive you. Faithful and just to forgive you. Oh my God, he's so good. Church, let's pray together with those that are watching today. Or if you're here today and you need to make a quick change, this is it. Pray with me. Say it with me. Say, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I come to you and I ask you to forgive me of all my sins, all my unrighteousness. I believe that you sent your Son Jesus to die for me, to be raised from the dead. Jesus, come into my life. Make me brand new. From this day forward, I will live all of my days for you. Thank you, Lord, that I am born again, that I am saved, and I have you now in my heart. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, if you prayed that prayer,